this time on Compassion Radio.
And they will hop on to the van to hear a gospel sermon.
12 hours in advance, no less.
And that has been the typical thing I've noticed with not just that culture, but with others as well. There's such a joy for it here, but it's just how much can my energy and time permit to be able to adequately do it?
Oh, man.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of a globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. Recently, Bram received an email via CompassionRadio.com from a man named Josh Manning here in the U.S. He was writing Bram to tell him about the incredibly unique pastoral ministry that God had given him in his hometown in Missouri, and to simply thank Bram for the broadcast. Well, Bram was so moved by the email that he reached out to Josh to talk. What came from their phone call was nothing short of a treasure trove of stories about the power of God to minister to a diverse group of immigrants who've come here from all over the world. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for part two of their conversation.
Joshua, tell me more about what kind of ministry you have to do. How is it unique? Of course, this is your first pastorate, so it may not feel unique to you. But how do you go about your ministry day to day? What do you spend your time doing?
Well, I'm bivocational. This is a very low-income church just because our primary work is with refugees. And so I do work at Walmart several days a week still. However, my ministry time is going to be spent, you know, of course, preparing for sermons, a lot of stuff that they invite us to in our Korean community. We do the birthday parties. Those are huge for their culture.
Why are birthday parties so big?
From what I have been told, it seems to be in that area of the world, all the cultures really enjoy that.
Interesting.
What it looks like for us is they invite me into their home. Typically, there is little to no furniture except for one chair where I'm to sit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sit with my Bible, the entire community, so it could be 40 people or more in the little duplex, sit in a circle around me, and they expect me to preach. And typically, this is on Sunday afternoon after I've just given the regular service. And so most of the time, I'm unprepared because I don't know if I've been warned in advance once. And
okay.
So what I do is I whip open the Bible, and I'll usually pick something, Romans or Ephesians or something I feel pretty confident with. I'll preach there for a little bit. It'll be interpreted into Korean, then prayer, and usually that's an extensive period of time itself. And after that, it's the traditional birthday stuff. I mean, you bring out a cake, you sing to the kids, and you do those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it ends up virtually a small church service that we have at every birthday. And
how
we
fun.
Do typically our church members, but we also do the rest in the Korean community.
So what kind of impact are these birthday party sermons having? Are you seeing new people coming to faith because of it, or are people asking new questions they wouldn't have asked before? What's happening there?
The benefit and the good things with all the things that they are asking me to be in is it's not my church members that's there often. Because we'll have, you know, it may be 50% my church members, but the other 50% are going to be non-Christians.
So every time you're out at a birthday party, you're on mission.
Absolutely. That's the reason we're going. That's like the New Year's party on Sunday. It's going to be the same thing. I will see some of my church members there, but it's also going to be people from the rest of the community. And it's a pretty exciting way to just be able to preach the gospel very boldly to these folks.
How fun. And of course, it's a little awkward from an American perspective to be sitting in that chair of honor as if you're on some kind of throne and people crowding around you. But within Korean culture, that is just absolutely the way you organize things.
Truthfully, it was awkward. And I didn't know how to handle that appropriately because they have a very high reverence for people in the leadership, almost to the point of embarrassment from my standpoint. I've been told they wish to honor me, so I allow them to in that regards. But when it's appropriate, I do try to deflect some of that as much as I can. But I do try to use that general respect, even among the non-Christian community, to my advantage because that's what's allowing me the opportunity to preach to them because I'm viewed as a religious leader.
And introducing in a new ethic, a new kingdom ethic, learning to be a servant leader. And that grows over time. It has different manifestations in different cultures. So in their culture, for example, sitting on the chair would not be considered pompous or self-serving. It would be simply what's required of honor. If they honor the book, they're going to honor you. So you want to respect what they honor. Other times, you may be leading them into a new way of understanding what it means to be a servant and offering to serve them when they've never been offered service before. That starts turning the tide in our hearts when we realize that as we serve each other, we bring honor to Christ. And I'm sure you're going to have plenty of exercises along the way here, Josh.
I agree.
So tell me about that.
From my Midwestern sentimentalities, I do feel very awkward in that situation. But we just try to cohabitate together and just because we do worship the same God and we have the same general things that we're trying to accomplish.
Josh, if you don't mind digging a little deeper into what it's like to be in this kind of position. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are very curious. How in the world does a guy who works at Walmart, who's been called by his pastor to step out and take a risk, handle the stresses of being a missionary, being an apostle, being a pastor and a bishop? All these things kind of wrap up into one when you're doing cross-cultural communications like this. And you've said it was your availability that made the difference, and that you put that on the altar for the Lord to take and use as he chose. And he chose you and chose that place and chose these people. And what an honor that is. So I want to honor what God honors. I want to tell our people that people like Josh are exactly like the rest of us, with one distinctive. Josh, what I see in you is a humility that's born of knowing your God is strong and appealing to his strength and not your own. I don't hear a lot of false humility in you. I don't hear any unwarranted fear, but I do hear a healthy respect and understanding that you're going to need the Holy Spirit in everything you do.
Yes, the more I've done this, from a pastoring standpoint, we have the language difficulties. There's cultural differences, but truthfully, my mission isn't any different than any small church. And a portion of my church congregation is going to be lost. A portion of them are going to be strong Christians. And my job is to disciple them as best I can. That's going to be every small church's pastor. And once the, how do I put it, once the newness of the differences wears off, It becomes an easier thing for me.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. And there's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. If you've missed anything today, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, your smartphone or tablet, and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
We're heading home. We journey on to see our Savior face to face. Close, we're getting close. Our joy is rising higher with each step we take. Forward on to Jesus. We are the people of the cross.
We are the people of the cross.
We choose Christ and count all else as lost.
We choose Christ and count all else as lost.
We won't be shaken. Hope won't be taken. We are the people of the cross. If not for grace, we would be lost without the promise that you gave. Praise be ever praised. Your Spirit burns within us brighter every day.
Brighter every day.
Forward on to Jesus. The people of the cross.
We are the people of the
We choose Christ and count all else as lost.
We choose Christ and count all else as lost.
We won't be shaken. Hope won't be taken. We are the people of the cross. We will be faithful till you lead us. Give us your courage as we finish. We want to hear well done. symbol of the cross.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. And that was Selah with a song called People of the Cross. It's off of their latest CD called Unbreakable, which includes that song and a lot of other really great music. Today, when you support this ministry financially, we'll send you your very own copy as our way of saying thanks. Just go to CompassionRadio.com to show your support. Again, CompassionRadio.com.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. And we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
So I want to honor what God honors. I want to tell our people that people like Josh are exactly like the rest of us, with one distinctive. Josh, what I see in you is a humility that's born of knowing your God is strong and appealing to His strength and not your own. I don't hear a lot of false humility in you. I don't hear any unwarranted fear. But I do hear a healthy respect and understanding that you're going to need the Holy Spirit in everything you do.
Yes, the more I've done this, from a pastoring standpoint, we have the language difficulties. There's cultural differences, but truthfully, my mission isn't any different than any small church. And a portion of my church congregation is going to be lost. A portion of them are going to be strong Christians, and my job is to disciple them as best I can. That's going to be every small church's pastor. And once the, how do I put it, once the newness of the differences wears off, It becomes an easier thing for me. The difficulties that I struggle with now is truthfully the amount of challenges that can be done, if I'm saying that correct. I want to break in with this teeny tiny little story.
Oh, please. This is what we're about here, Josh's story. So fill as many as you can.
Okay, this may kind of show what the opportunities are. Easter morning, we were going to have a sunrise service. So we announced in church that it's going to be 6:30 in the morning. I was going to drive the bus. We were to go to the sunrise service. The day before, Saturday night, we told a couple of the young ladies who spoke English well to go tell their community, be ready tomorrow morning, 6:30. Josh is going to drive the van. We show up 6:30 in the morning, and no one is awake. Every single person is asleep. The lights are out.
Yeah.
Turns out there was a communication problem we didn't realize. They were expecting 6:30 in the evening. I didn't know this. So I thought, well, surely they're ready to just have the lights out. So I sent my kids to knock on doors, and pretty soon we had a van full. They all came out, jumped on the van. We drove the sunrise service, had a good time. I drove them back home. I didn't even realize there was a communication problem till 6:30 that evening. We start getting calls saying, where are you? It's time for the sunrise service. So what that means is that we have such a tremendous opportunity for preaching the gospel because they will come in dark. You show up in a van before daylight, and they will hop on to the van to hear a gospel sermon.
12 hours in advance, no less.
And that has been the typical thing I've noticed with not just that culture, but with others as well. There's such a ease for presenting the gospel and such a joy for it here, but it's just how much can my energy and time permit to be able to adequately do it?
Oh, man. That's a great story, Josh.
There's nothing that you can do here that will be effective in ministering for the gospel.
Amen.
It's just how much energy can I put in a day to do it?
And how much energy can God put in through you? I understand that sometimes the math, as we would see it, just doesn't add up, that when God starts multiplying what he's got together, he makes a whole lot more happen than we could ever possibly imagine. And that's got to be true of your schedule, Josh.
That has happened every single time here, yes.
Josh, let me ask you about how God's been ministering to you through all this. How has he blessed you and ministered to your heart and your needs and your family through this experience?
God has supplied everything before I realized it. I have said from the pulpit probably 5 times, if not more, that if we needed the world to flip backwards or whatever we need to do, God would provide at that minute. I'm without doubt at this point. My best example is the parsonage. It was the house that the church owns for me to live in. In order for me to effectively minister in this setting, I had to be here. I lived outside of town. I wasn't around these people very often, and so I was just the visitor on Sunday. In order to be a good steward, a good pastor to them, I had to be around them. So we were moving to the parsonage, and it was bad. It was pretty rough.
Been a while since it was lived in, I guess.
Well, it had been lived in by a lot of people.
I see.
It had been rented out to Somali people. We found a list of the number of people that were living there because they were collecting rent from each other, and there were 14 names.
Wow.
And so there was a large number of people, and it was really rough. So I looked at the empty house, and I was, truthfully, to my breaking point, I was about to just throw up my hands and be done. I thought, I cannot do this by myself. I thought, I cannot ask my wife and my children to move here. And I was frustrated and at my wit's end. No one knew we were there that day, but everyone dropped by. People showed up out of the blue, just happened to be in town, and said, hey, I'd like to paint your house. And the next person comes by and says, boy, these refrigerator and stove, those kind of things are bad. Those need replaced. We're taking care of that. Plumbing problems. Plumber comes walking in and says, oh, yeah, I've seen that we have problems here, here, and here. We'll fix it. Within just a couple of hours, every conceivable problem that I saw that I could not handle on my own had someone in place just march into this house and say they would fix. It was the most awe-inspiring moments of my life, and I sat down and I sobbed like a little baby for far too long. And after that, I quit doubting. I prayed extensively. I said, how am I going to reach these Somali friends of my neighbors? I never even met one. I don't know anyone that knows a Somali person.
Mm-hmm.
3 people within just a very short period of time just contacted me and says, oh, yes, I've been working with Somali people for the last 30 years. One family marched into the church, sat in the front pew, and says, we're missionaries off the field in Africa. We'd like to help you. And I've been working with Somali for the last 3 decades.
Wow.
I quit doubting at that point. I've got this thing, and it's my job just to preach faithfully. I don't have any qualifications for doing so, but I don't see anywhere in Scripture that God ever used anyone who was qualified.
Hmm.
Every single character that God uses in Scripture tends to be the least and the last one you would ever choose. You see Gideon sitting there from the smallest family hiding in the wine pit. You see, typically, just every person that was the last one you choose was the one God chose. So in that regard, I cling to that. My verse I cling to in all of this is in Acts. It's when Peter and John, they're pulled in front of the religious leaders of the day. And that verse, it says, when they saw that they were uneducated and untrained, they were astonished and they saw that they'd been with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I cling to that with everything in me because I'm uneducated and untrained, but I want people to see that I've been with Jesus.
Mm. That's beautiful, Josh. And we are glad that you're God's man for the hour there. And I've always been amazed, and I shouldn't be, but when God, as we say, equips the called, he doesn't call the equipped or the trained, that when you see people doing those things, you're amazed at God's ability to do things. And why should we even be amazed at that? Yet I'm stunned from time to time that God did that in this person's life and made them able to do the thing he wanted to get done. Why? Because he wanted it badly. And it sure sounds to me like there are souls around Southwest Missouri that God really wants to reach. And so he was willing to take you, a Walmart employee, a faithful servant of his in a local church, and say, you're my Gideon. I'm going to put you in there and do battle for me in the heavenlies, and we're going to win souls. That's the story I'm hearing emerge from what you've told me. And yes, I believe that God does provide, and he certainly provides for the prayers of the desperate. When we show up on mission fields out there around the world and someone says, I knew you were coming. How? Because God told me. And then you kind of step into that moment and you realize, I have so little to offer here, but yet God presaged my entrance. Norm had those experiences in our ministry for years and years before I stepped into the chair. I'm still hearing that. We were praying last night and you came to our hearts and minds. We hadn't even met yet. It seems to me that this is something very, very similar for you, Josh, that God put you in the hearts and minds of people that he wanted to serve his purposes and to bring himself glory and to win your faith. So if I found a title in today's program, it's been, I've Stopped Doubting. That's a good one. What kind of prayers are you praying now that you might not have prayed had God not brought you into this ministry?
Right now, I am praying for judgment. I'm being thrust into a lot of situations where I don't know the best thing to do. You know, well, we've had up to 6 different countries of birth present in the service, and I want to be an effective minister to all that enter. How I use the opportunities presented to me. Out of the blue, we are getting a lot of interest and people contacting and all have wonderful hearts and wonderful desires for us to pursue things in ministry. What is the best course of action to glorify God is where I'm praying for judgment frequently.
Man, this is all James 1 right here, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll hear more of this conversation tomorrow right here on Compassion Radio. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again just by going to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. And if you have a minute, go ahead and take our partner survey. This is a great way for us to learn how to better serve you. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, we'd like to ask you to consider 3 things. First, the obvious. Please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? You know, sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the exciting reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We're 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Now today when you give, we'll send you a copy of the latest CD from gospel vocal trio Sela called Unbreakable as our way of saying thanks. To support Compassion Radio today, you can call 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. While you're there, just click on the top right mini menu icon and then click Donate. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Here's Bram with a closing word.
Hi, friends. This is Bram Floria with Compassion Radio, the radio voice for global mission. For almost 75 years now, you've generously enabled the ministry, projects, and vision of our founders, Wilbur and Norm Nelson. Today, we continue to need your support and prayers. In fact, we accomplish nothing without it. If you've ever been encouraged by this broadcast, if you've been challenged in your faith walk, if we've helped you to see the kingdom in a fresh, new way, if we've ever encouraged you to act in obedience, then we've accomplished our goal. Please help us continue to offer this timely and inspiring program here each day. Your gift is needed now more than ever. Contact us by phone, mail, or online. 1-800-868-2478 or P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. And of course, CompassionRadio.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. Now, before we go, I want you to turn to the friend or loved one you're with, that is, unless you're driving, and tell them that you love them and appreciate them. And if you're listening alone today, please know that we love you and we appreciate you. I'm Frank Montenegro. Please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.